So there are those who show gratitude, and then there are those who just radiate it, like John and Bert Jacobs, which kind of surprised me because they're big-time businessmen. They are the co-founders of a $100 million clothing empire called Life is Good. So maybe right there is all the explanation you need about John and Bert's outlook on life. I spoke with the Needham brothers earlier this year when they published their first book, Life is Good, the Book, How to Live with Purpose and Enjoy the Ride. And Bert Jacobs started by talking about the number one force in their lives, the person who taught them the importance of gratitude, their mother.
Yeah, John, our mom, was really the first powerful optimist in our lives and clearly kind of the inspiration for the brand Life is Good. So although Needham's a really beautiful town and kind of an upper middle class town, our home wasn't an upper middle class home. And, you know, there was eight of us sharing a really small place and money was pretty tight. And dad went through some pretty serious depression following a really bad auto accident when we were kids. And my mom kind of kept it all together and got us to focus on what's happening that's right rather than what's going wrong.
Yeah.
And that had a lasting impact.
How did she do that on a day-to-day basis?
I would say the huge thing we look back at that had such great impact was every night at the dinner table, she'd look around at each of us and say, tell me something good that happened today. And as simple as that sounds, it changed the energy in the room. Instead of us kind of moaning about a tough assignment or teacher or something like that, we were, you know, riffing on something absurd or funny or positive, and that kind of thing creates momentum in a house.
So tell us the story then about how the company was founded, because it wasn't obvious from the start that Life is Good would become what it is.
Yeah. You know, I was 30 years old before we had any success. So, and JJ, you were what, 26 years old. So we had, you know, 5.5 years of failing before we came up with something that was commercially viable. And I think in those 5.5 years, we were selling T-shirts in the street and we were selling door-to-door in college dorms. And we got into this one conversation while we were traveling in the van. And it was about how the media inundates us with negative information. Mm-hmm. And we talked about trying to come up with some brand or concept that celebrated life and celebrated what was happening that was right in the world.
Yeah.
And the idea really just came from that.
Yeah, and I just add, like, if you go back to that kitchen and mom, like, both Bert and I loved to draw growing up and create and write. And so we started brainstorming right about when I was finishing school, and we drove across country, and that's when we first started talking about starting a business together. And T-shirts were an accessible way to kind of blend art and business. So we jumped into the street scene that Bert talked about, Faneuil Hall, Harvard Square, college dorms, and it was pathetic at times, but we had a good time driving around the East Coast, and it did take us 5 years to finally
hit
something.
One important thing to point out is that people sometimes look these days and say, life is good now that you have a successful business, et cetera, et cetera. But life was good when we were sleeping in the van. Uh-huh. You know, we looked at those days while we were, you know, sneaking into the cafeteria to eat and sleeping in the van and all that. We were getting to visit all the college campuses that we couldn't get into, you know.
Yeah.
And we'd had a ball on those campuses. We'd throw the football and the frisbee, hang out by day, learn where we could, get the lay of the land, and then at night we'd sell. So it wasn't a bad life, even in those days.
Well, I'm wondering if you could tell us a story about how you've handled moments where life didn't feel so good. I mean, because the message of optimism is really powerful, but, you know, we've all been through experiences where collectively we didn't feel all that optimistic. You know, I mean, you write about some of them in the book. I'm thinking about after 9/11.
A day or two after that happened, we were kind of frozen. Like, is it appropriate to send product that says life is good out there? Certainly doesn't feel it right now. And a quiet woman in our warehouse raised her hand at a meeting and said, why don't we do a fundraiser? And we did a simple graphic and stylized American flag and sent it out and told everyone 100% of the proceeds would help the families. And we got a response like five times what we were hoping for. We were hoping to raise about $30,000, and it was like $207,000 in a very short period. Mm-hmm. In the darkest times, people are drawn to the light. And so when the bombings occurred at the marathon, we our offices were actually like a block and a half from the finish line. You know, all of us Bostonians saw EMTs running in to help. We saw runners running an extra mile or two to give blood. We saw people opening their homes to strangers. And all this love poured in as a result of this.
And then it went beyond the city, and people started sending money and prayers. And when the one fund got going, I mean, it was pretty remarkable.
And we heard again from our community saying, you guys got to do a fundraiser, Shirt. And it took us a few days to clear our heads and say, yes, we do have to do a fundraiser, Shirt. And Boston Strong was the prominent message, and a great message of resilience that was all over the city.
But that's not the message that you put on the shirt, though.
Yeah, exactly. That didn't feel like our message, and we thought about it a lot. And what we wrote was, nothing is stronger than love. And we posted that on our website, and it became rapidly the best-selling shirt we've ever sold. Yeah. So that ended up raising over $500,000 for the one fund, and that was, it was very unifying to our team, just like after 9/11, where you're kind of feeling frozen, and how do you help? And then, yes, we have a vehicle to help, and the community rallies around it.
Okay, so the hard-nosed journalist in me has one more question for you guys.
Yeah.
I mean, I love your message, and there's so many sort of threads to it that we could discuss. But I'm curious, what if someone listening to this is thinking, this is some hippy-dippy stuff? Sure, life is good, but life is also real.
Can I try that part?
Sure.
We feel like optimism is not this soft philosophical viewpoint. It's a pragmatic strategy for living a happy life, for fulfilling goals. And we were lucky enough to learn it early on, and we didn't really put all the pieces together, as Bert said, till we were adults. But we've seen it, not just our own story, but like these letters we get, it's real, and it's not floaty, soft, hippie stuff.
Life is not perfect, and life is not easy, but life is good. The most inspirational lessons to us have come from the people that face the worst possible, and that is inspiring. But I think what we're trying to get people to do is just wake up in the morning and start by focusing on what's right with your life rather than what's wrong with your life, because whatever you focus on will grow.
It's right back to Joan's question, right? Tell me
exactly
something good,
yeah,
that happened to you today.
Exactly.
John and Bert Jacobs are co-founders of the Life is Good clothing company and co-authors of Life is Good, the book, How to Live with Purpose and Enjoy the Ride. They'll be at the Concord Bookshop on December 6th. There's more information at our website, radioboston.org. When we come back, we'll explore gratitude with the mother of mindfulness, Ellen Langer. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.